Welcome to Yale Cancer Center Answers with Drs. Francine Foss and Lynn Wilson. Dr. Foss is a professor of medical oncology and dermatology, specializing in the treatment of lymphomas. Dr. Wilson is a professor of therapeutic radiology and an expert in the use of radiation to treat lung cancers and cutaneous lymphomas. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can contact the doctors directly. The address is canceranswers@yale.edu, and the phone number is 1-888-234-4YCC. This week, we welcome Dr. Mikal Rose, the director of the West Haven VA Cancer Center. Here's Lynn Wilson.
Let's start off by having you tell us a little bit about the West Haven VA Cancer Center and how it actually got started.
Well, we've been around for a while. We offer almost all services available for patients with cancer at the Veterans Affairs Cancer Center in West Haven. We have all the specialties of surgery. We have neurosurgery for brain tumors. We have ear, nose, and throat surgeons for tumors of the head and neck area. We have dedicated thoracic surgeons. We have gastrointestinal surgery, including liver, pancreas, esophagus. We have, of course, a lot of urologists doing urology surgery. We offer almost all types of chemotherapy and biological therapy. The one thing we don't offer, as you know, is radiation therapy. We don't have a radiation therapy facility. Most of our patients go to Yale, to the Yale Cancer Center at Smilo to get their radiation. They get excellent care there. So pretty much we're almost a full-service cancer center.
And of course, medical oncologists such as yourself are at the VA, and so it really sounds like a multidisciplinary service provider for veterans, which is fantastic.
Yes, and modern oncology and cancer care has to be multidisciplinary, and we emphasize that at the VA, and we work very collaboratively with all our colleagues, so it works out pretty well.
Who's actually eligible to come and be seen at the VA? Is it any veteran with a diagnosis of cancer or is suspected of having cancer? Do they need to live in Connecticut? What are the sort of background ground rules?
Well, we take care of all the Connecticut veterans who have cancer. We also take care of veterans from some other states. We take care of veterans from Western Massachusetts, the Springfield area. They can choose to go either to Boston or to West Haven, Connecticut, and they usually prefer to come to us. We're a little more accessible to them. We also have some veterans that come from Rhode Island and from Albany for specialized care. But the vast majority of our patients are from Connecticut.
Yeah, but it sounds with that sort of reach that they're patients coming from pretty far away places. If that's the case, say if someone's coming from Albany to see you and your team, for example, is it set up such that they can actually stay at the VA hospital during their cancer care? What would be the logistics of something like that?
So that is a challenge for us because some of our patients do come from far. Fortunately, the VA has a lot of support for these kind of for these veterans and these issues. There are shuttle buses that run between Northampton, Massachusetts, Springfield, and West Haven, Newington, Bridgeport. And there are places that veterans can stay in West Haven or nearby free of charge. So that helps them. We also have a low threshold to admit people to the hospital to help them get through workup or treatment. For the ones that the travel is a hardship for them, we have a long-term care unit where veterans can stay for a few months when they're getting treatment such as chemotherapy and radiation, which helps a lot of older people get through the treatment. So although we face a challenge of treating people from far away, we have a lot of support for them.
So it sounds like all the bases are covered with all of those options. So that really doesn't sound like it would be a barrier for anybody who was interested or who would be coming for these services. How long have you been actually involved with the West Haven VA Cancer Center, and how did you get interested in this?
Well, I've been part of the VA Connecticut Healthcare System, as it's called, since 1999, so it's been more than 12 years now. I've been the Cancer Center Director since 2005. I did my training at Yale. I did my residency there and my fellowship. And as you know, the VA is an important affiliate of the Yale training programs. I spent a lot of time during my training at the VA, and that's really when I became interested in working there. Fortunately, when I graduated, there was a position available, and I've been there ever since. There were a lot of things that attracted me to work at the VA. I think first and foremost, it was the opportunity to take care of veterans. I truly think they are the most deserving and appreciative people that I've ever worked with. I like the fact that they also have comprehensive coverage. We don't have to worry about much of copays and coverage for medications, and that makes our life much easier. As you know, some of the cancer treatments are very expensive, and the VA takes the approach that if it's FDA approved for the indication, and often even when it's not FDA approved for that indication, but for but there's good data to suggest that the drug works, they will cover it, even if it's expensive. And that is a huge plus for our veterans. And that was one of the things I liked about the VA, that I don't have to worry about my patients not having access to treatment that helps them. I also love teaching. And since all the Yale students, medical students, PA students, nursing students, residents, fellows come through the VA, it's really a huge opportunity to make a difference and teach. And last but not least, I wanted to be part of the Yale Cancer Center. So for me, the VA job was really a perfect fit at the time.
Oh, that's,
and I still like it.
That's good. What is your specific area of clinical expertise? Aside from your rather substantial amount of administrative work that you have to do, making sure everything works well at the VA.
Well, you could say I specialize in cancers that we see at the VA and cancers that veterans have. I think my main interest always was the hematologic, or the cancers of the blood and lymphatic system. But because we're relatively small, we're 4 full-time oncologists, we all pretty much do everything.
I see.
Like I said, we don't see all cancers at the VA. For example, since most of our patients are men, we don't see a lot of breast cancer. And breast cancer is, of course, a very common cancer, the most common cancer in women, and we see very little of that. So I'm probably not an expert in breast cancer.
The changes that have happened at the VA since you've been there, and you've been there a long time now, what sort of things have you seen change that have been very positive for veterans?
So really, over this period of more than 12 years now, there's been a lot of very positive changes, I have to say. The Cancer Center and the medical center as a whole have expanded enormously. We now have more doctors than when I started. We have more nurse practitioners. We have more nurses working in our clinic. We have more specialized surgeons. We have surgeons who specialize pretty much in every type of surgery working at the VA. We also have state-of-the-art equipment, and we always had a CAT scanner, but now we have several CAT scanners, including state-of-the-art rapid ones. We have MRI machines. We have a PET scanner. So we've certainly seen the changes and the progress there. When I first started, we only had clinic twice a week. We're much busier now. We offer a clinic every day for our patients. One of the big improvements is the electronic medical record. The VA has always been a leader in the electronic medical record. Really, the rest of the community is really catching up with the VA now. But even within the VA, there's been huge developments in this system. One of the really exciting developments is that we now offer veterans access to their electronic medical records. So they can log in from home, from a computer, and refill medications, schedule appointments, and they can also communicate with their clinicians through this secure emailing system. So it's making us more efficient, it's making us more patient-centered, And the patients, especially the younger generation of patients, really like it. So there's really been a lot of progress over this time, and I think we've improved a lot.
Oh, well, that's very impressive, especially these improvements in efficiency for patients and access to the system and to the doctors for patients. That's really fantastic. I'm sure there are many civilian organizations that would love to have something like that, but it's obviously very labor and financially expensive to do so. So I know the VA's had a great system for a long time.
Yeah, one of the other aspects is that all the VAs are connected through one electronic system. So if I have a veteran who goes to Florida for the winter, for example, I can just, with a click of the mouse, see what happened in Florida at the Tampa VA. And that's true through the whole country and Puerto Rico, Hawaii, Alaska.
Wow.
So really makes it easier also for veterans who transfer their care or have care in several sites.
So obviously you have many cancer specialists at the VA that you've listed, and there are many other types and many more. Are all of these physicians also part of Yale, or do some work exclusively at the VA or both places? What's the relationship? Are they affiliated with the medical school?
All our oncologists have academic appointments at Yale. They all do teaching and research, and that's true for most of the specialists actually that work at the VA. It's also true for a good percent of the other doctors that work at the VA, primary care doctors and others. So I think that's really one of the strengths of the VA is its affiliation with medical centers, specifically Yale. In our case, I think it makes for better doctors and better care.
Oh, that's fantastic. You had mentioned a little bit about some of the cancers that you don't see too much of at the VA and some others that you might see more commonly. What is your sense of the main types of cancers that affect the veterans that you care for?
Well, still over 90% of our patients are men. That is changing as more and more women are serving in the military. But we still see mostly cancers that affect men. Unfortunately, a lot of our patients smoke or used to smoke. So we see a lot of smoking-related cancers, such as lung cancer, bladder cancer. The other top sites, common cancers among the veterans are prostate cancer, of course. And we see quite a lot of malignant melanoma, which is really the most dangerous form of skin cancer. Some of our patients are Vietnam veterans, and they were exposed to Agent Orange. That was the pesticide that was used in Vietnam to exfoliate the trees or make the leaves fall off the trees. Exposure to Agent Orange is associated with several cancers, especially lymphomas and related conditions, leukemias. It's probably also associated with lung cancer and possibly prostate cancer. So that may explain part of the increased incidence of those cancers among Vietnam veterans.
And are most of those veterans, when you talk to them and take their history, are they usually pretty confident that they might have had Agent Orange exposure to help you sort through the issues, or sometimes it perhaps is unclear?
Well, I don't determine really whether they were exposed or not, but I know that the VA has become more lenient in their criteria of deciding who was exposed to Agent Orange. They used to require that the veterans were really heavily exposed in the jungles. Now they realize that even people who were in the bases or transporting Agent Orange were probably had an exposure, and sometimes the veterans didn't know necessarily exactly what their exposure was. And this has significance regarding compensation if they're disabled related to an Agent Orange condition. So that's not really something that we determine, but there's a lot of people at the VA that's really their job to determine the eligibility for compensation.
I see. We're going to take a short break for a medical minute. Please stay tuned to learn more information about cancer services that are available at the West Haven VA Cancer Center with my guest, Dr. Mikal Rose.
The American Cancer Society estimates that the lifetime risk of developing colorectal cancer is about 1 in 20, and that risk is slightly lower in women than in men. Early detection is the key. When detected early, colorectal cancer is easily treated and highly curable. Men and women over the age of 50 should have regular colonoscopies to screen for this disease. Each day, more patients are surviving the disease due to increased access to advanced therapies and specialized care. New treatment options and surgical techniques are giving colorectal cancer survivors more hope than they ever had before. Clinical trials are currently underway at federally designated comprehensive cancer centers, like the one at Yale, to test innovative new treatments for colorectal cancer. New options include a Chinese herbal medicine being used in combination with chemotherapy to reduce side effects of treatment and help cancer drugs work more effectively. This has been a Medical Minute, and more information is available at yalecancercenter.org. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum on the Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to Yale Cancer Center Answers. This is Dr. Lynn Wilson, and Dr. Mikal Rose joins me today to discuss cancer services at the West Haven VA. We had talked in some detail about the VA and the types of physicians and types of patients that are cared for. How do veterans access the system if they're concerned that they may have a condition that is cancerous, or perhaps their physician has suggested to them that that's the case? How do they actually get into the system? Obviously, if they're in the VA already being cared for by a primary care physician at the VA, that's pretty straightforward. But what if someone hasn't sought any medical care in quite some time and feels a lump in their neck? How would they actually get into the system?
Well, it does vary. The VA does require that every veteran has a primary care provider, and that is, I think, really a key to good care. I do believe in that. So, like you said, people who have a primary care provider do have access immediately to specialists when the need arises. We do have veterans who haven't been in the system for a while and will come to the emergency room with a new issue, and we address it, and depending on the urgency of the case, we will see them. Some get admitted for workups. Some get urgent appointments in our clinic. We really have open access in our clinic, and the VA has also put together guidelines on how quickly patients should be seen, which has helped. We always triage our patients and see them as soon as we can, but we have to see everyone within 2 weeks, basically, and of course, some are seen the next day. So as a pretty good method of accessing our services.
You had mentioned some services that the VA does not offer. That was an extremely limited list, such as radiation, for example, but you have methods set up for patients to get access to radiation therapy services at Yale, for example. Are there any other services that you have to send patients elsewhere for that may not be available actually in West Haven?
We do send some patients for if there's very specialized surgeries or that need very sophisticated equipment. Sometimes they get sent out, usually to Yale. And we send patients for clinical trials that are not available in RVA. But we do, besides that, and also with patients with women with gynecological cancers, because we see so few of them, they all go outside the VA for treatment, usually again to Yale, which has an excellent program for gynecologic cancers. But we can take care of the majority of the veterans' needs within the system, and usually the veterans prefer that because they appreciate the ease with which they can access the care and the fact that the care is coordinated.
So if someone needs to have a specialized service, say at Yale, for example, generally is the VA helpful in having those costs covered, since obviously that care may be outside the formal VA system? How would that work for a patient generally?
It usually starts with us, with the doctors. So if we recognize that there is a good treatment for the patient that we cannot offer, there is a procedure that we can initiate to get the care approved. And it's actually streamlined, so it's all electronic. We put in an electronic consult that goes to the administration, and they have a clinician, a physician, review it. Sometimes they'll ask us some questions, but in most cases, it's quite simple because it's clear cut the services that we cannot offer. Because oncology changes and progresses all the time, we do have to sometimes advocate for patients and fight for them to get treatments that we think could help them that may be expensive and we cannot offer, but really have a good chance of helping them. But overall, I've found our administration to be very, very supportive of the needs of the veterans with cancer and very much aware of the fact that treating cancer is a moving target and there will be new options out there that we cannot offer and that the patients deserve. So I have not found big barriers for our patients.
Oh, that's terrific. I've been asked about this before. Say we have a patient who is a veteran, but for whatever reason has sought their health care for the last 20 years in the non-veteran or rather civilian system, and say they have Medicare, for example, but perhaps they've been diagnosed with a cancer and they'd like a second opinion about this. Are they eligible to come to the VA for assistance in that situation?
Yeah, most veterans are eligible to come to the VA. There are variations in copay. So people who are relatively well off or have a regular income will be required to, will have a copay at the VA. And sometimes it's cheaper for them actually to get care outside the VA. The medication benefit is usually a very, good at the VA, so the copay for medications is usually much less than patients would pay on the outside, especially for the expensive oncologic treatments. And so that often is a reason that draws patients to the VA.
I see. What are some of the supportive care services available to patients at the VA?
Well, we have great supportive services, actually. We have very dedicated social workers, care coordinators, psychologists. We have a palliative care team and a hospice team that support veterans in their homes and provide inpatient hospice care if needed. We have this fantastic program in which veterans are actually trained to help and take care of other veterans with cancer. And they go to their houses, especially veterans that live in rural areas, and help them out. And that's one of the wonderful things at the VA, this camaraderie between the veterans. It's really amazing. They're always helping each other. They're always making friends in the waiting room. Also, many of the people who work at the VA are veterans, and I think that really makes a big difference. You can see the dedication. They were there themselves, and so really the supportive care services are remarkable.
Are there hospice options for patients? Is there something formally through the VA, or do you have to rely on systems outside the VA for hospice care?
No, the VA has its own inpatient hospice at West Haven, which is usually our patient's first choice if faced with that situation because they feel it's their own place. The VA will also pay for patients to go to other facilities nearer their homes for veterans who live a little bit of a distance from West Haven. They will also pay for them to have home hospice services. So the VA is actually very supportive of hospice services, and there is a national directive that comes from a central office that mandates that all veterans with incurable cancers have access to hospice care early on in their disease. And the other advantage is there aren't really limitations on this hospice care. So I can have our hospice team see a patient with lung cancer, although I may still be treating this patient and giving them chemotherapy, and this person may not be what we call terminal. They still benefit from a discussion with the hospice team to find out what their options are and what to expect down the line. So that really enables us to have the hospice services involved early on, which I think our patients really appreciate.
What services do you offer at the VA that may not be offered at other institutions, other Veterans Affairs hospitals?
Well, our VA has actually taken the lead in several aspects of cancer care. We're very proud of that. We were the first VA in the nation to offer comprehensive cancer care coordination services. We hired our first dedicated cancer care coordinator in 2007. We now have two other nurses serving in that role, so we have three coordinators. Our coordinators are alerted electronically, immediately, to all new cases of cancers. They expedite the care. They serve as a point of contact for the veterans and their families as they go through the diagnostic process, the staging process. As you know, it's a very scary process, and they always have a phone number to call and find out what's going on, what appointments are coming up, why, what is the reason for the workup. We've seen huge benefits to patients with this program. We've seen that the timeliness of care is improved. It takes patients less time to start their treatment, so much less anxiety and much less suffering. And actually, many VAs in the country have followed our model. They've consulted with us as they build their own navigation program. So that has been really a success, and we're very proud of it. And there are a lot of other things I can talk about. We were one of the first in the country among the VAs to offer robotic surgery for prostate cancer. We now offer other robotic surgeries for head and neck surgeries, for lung surgeries. We were one of the first to offer a multidisciplinary liver cancer service. So the incidence of liver cancer is rising nationwide and in the VA. And it really is a disease or cancer that requires multidisciplinary care. And we have a very active program. We're one of the few that organize a Cancer Survivor Day every year. So I can give you lots of examples, but really, we're always looking for ways to improve and to innovate. And I'm very fortunate because I work with a wonderful group of people that are dedicated to the cause of improving cancer care for veterans. And I think our veterans really benefit from it.
Tell us a little bit about screening options for patients. What if someone may not have overt symptoms, but may just be worried that they could be at risk for cancer? Are there screening options for these folks?
Well, yes. Actually, the VA is a leader in cancer screening and preventive care. In fact, studies have shown that veterans are screened for cancer at a higher rate than other populations. The VA has placed a huge emphasis on primary care and preventive health. That was really a major part of the VA system reorganization. This happened in the 1990s under the direction of Kenneth Kaiser. He was then the VA Undersecretary of Health. And the VA is really now a model for a system that provides quality care. Recently, there were a couple of studies showing that the quality of VA cancer care is at least as good, if not better, than the average care Medicare patients get. One study that was published last year showed that veterans were diagnosed with earlier stage colon cancer than in the community. They had higher rates of surgery for the colon cancer. They had higher rates of appropriate treatment for lymphoma and for myeloma. So really, like I said, the VA system as a whole has been a model for quality care, and I'm proud to work there.
Well, I can see why, Mikhail. What are your plans for the future? Is there any plan for any expansion of the center?
Well, yes, actually, we are moving to a new space this year. We're very excited. It should be in just a few months. It will enable us to offer our patients treatments in a more comfortable environment, a larger infusion area, more exam rooms. We hope to offer patients and their families access to some complementary activities also, such as art therapy, yoga, massage, relaxation techniques. We plan to open more clinical trials. And these are exciting times for oncology, and we need to move with the times so that our veterans will get the best care.
Dr. Mikal Rose is director of the West Haven VA Cancer Center. If you have questions or would like to add your comments, visit yalecancercenter.org, where you can also get the podcast and find written transcripts of past programs. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum on the Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network.